Thank you, Susan. If you have your Bible, open with me to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. I cannot tell you how delighted I have been to be able to spend this time in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. What a great blessing it is to think of the resurrection of our Lord at some other time except Easter. To know that the Easter message is true every single day, and there is a reality that resurrection will come. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, now the 35th verse. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? You fool, that which you sow is not quickened except it die. And that which you sow not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may be chance of wheat, or of some other grain, but God gives it a body as it has pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and a glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. And God blesses the reading of His Word. Join with me again as we pray. Father, I ask that You would just touch our hearts, draw us to Your Word. Let us realize, Father, what You have in store for those who will trust in You. Let us, Father, be challenged to spread the gospel to those that don't know You. And Father, fill us with the joy of the reality of Jesus. And we thank You for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So Paul's dealing with questions. Questions concerning the resurrection. He's established that there is going to be an order to the resurrection. Jesus was the first to rise. Because Jesus is alive, those of us that have received Jesus as our Lord and Savior will have eternal life. We will rise also. At the second coming, when Jesus comes in the air, believers who have died will be resurrected. Those of us who are alive and remain, and right now since I'm alive, I'm going to think it's going to be any day, and if Jesus comes any day, those of us who know Him will rise to meet Him in the air. In our world, we get used to waiting. I'm told from my friends in the military that the motto is hurry up and wait. A lot of waiting. Most of us don't like it. But at some point, you kind of get the idea that you have to wait your turn. There's an appropriate time for you and there's an appropriate time for others. So it is with the resurrection. Jesus was raised first, then He comes again. And when He comes again, all believers, living and dead, will rise to meet Him in the air. Dead believers, that is your loved ones who have died, that know Jesus as their Savior when they died, they are going to rise to meet Him. Now, it's going to be a twofold thing for them. They're going to come back with Him as He comes in spirit. And their spirits will be joined with a resurrected body. They're first. You get to wait. Then after that, the rest of us will rise to meet them in the air and we will be changed. After the tribulation, we will come back with Jesus, and those that have come to faith during the tribulation that have died will be raised. At the end of time, the unsaved will be raised, and they will be raised to face judgment. Now, the lost man's resurrection is not like your resurrection if you are saved. The lost man's resurrection is not to a new body. It is not to be pain-free. It is not to glory. The lost person's resurrection is a resurrection of damnation. It is a resurrection of condemnation. It is a resurrection of pain. And it is a resurrection of suffering. For you see, those that died in disease will rise in disease. For the sin that brought them is still with them. It is mind-blowing to think that those that are dead will rise again. You may remember Job. Our ladies are in a study of Job. Job is the woe is me guy. Job is the fellow that a lot of calamities came upon. And Job is the one that stood in faith and asked the question, if a man dies, shall he live again? Job had a faith. Job had a belief that, yes, there was a resurrection. Paul is sharing the truth that, yes, there is a resurrection. But the fact that we know that Jesus will come and we will rise and there will be a resurrection doesn't mean that there are not still questions. I have found that inquiring minds want to know. And there are some things that we don't understand, and so we ask questions. There are questions of practicality, verse 35. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? You know, I really think God understands that we have questions. God made us. God made us as we are. God put inquiring minds within us. And so it doesn't surprise God that we ask questions. In fact, God knew that we would ask questions. And so he had Paul write down that some guy out there is going to ask a question. He knew ahead of time that questions would come and somebody would say, how's this going to happen? What's the practicality of it? When we die, our bodies begin to disassemble. The Corinthians knew that about as well as anyone. You see, their death practices and our death practices are not the same. What they would do is they would take a body and they would lay it somewhere where that body would decompose. Then when the body had decomposed, they would go back, they would take the bones of that body, and they would encase those bones in a little box. And those of us that went to Israel got to see these little boxes. They're called ossuaries. And so they're little bone boxes. And they were very practical because you see, you can put a lot of little boxes in a small space. So one family could have one crypt, and for generations they could be stacked. And so that's how they dealt with death. And so they would wait, and they would then take the bones, they would put them in the box, and then they would seal the box, and that would be a record of the family. The ossuary certainly took up a lot less room than the caskets that we have today. However, the disassembled bones really do not look like anybody you know. They look like what you see in Halloween, but they don't bear resemblance of our loved ones. How is it possible for those separated pieces to be put back together? Now, some people try to help God out. Some people try to take really good care of themselves. Some people use beauty aids. Some people, and I'm all for this. I want you to look as good as you can. People go to all extremes to look as good as they can for as long as they can. And then when we die, some people still try to help God out. Let's make it easier for God so he doesn't have to kind of find all the pieces and put them back together. And so we go through the process of embalming. Embalming takes bodily fluids out and puts in preservatives. And those preservatives, this is a practice that's been going on for, the Egyptians did it. It's been going on for a long, long time. And we try to get that body so that the body will not decay. And then we take the bodies and we put them in airtight containers. Tupperware for the dead. Hey, have you ever gone to a funeral and you've seen a casket and at the end of the casket there's a little knob sticking out, a little thing? You know what that is? That's where they can screw out that and burp the casket to let the air, last air out to seal it up, you know, like you burp the Tupperware. Why do you do that? You do that so that if in 50 years somebody wants to come and open that casket, you're going to look about like you did when you were put in there. Maybe a little different, but pretty much the same. We're helping God out. We're keeping things the same so God doesn't have to worry. We're trying to put things back together. But God is capable. While we try to make it easier in some ways, think of other people that do not die in the regular manner. Think of people that are lost at sea. A body that is lost in sea is eaten by perhaps 100 to 1,000 different fish. People catch those fish. What happens to those fish? Well, they're shipped to the restaurant close to you. Anybody having fish for dinner? There are those that are burned. How tragic it is in California, the lives that have been lost in fire, and we pray for those families and that neighbor, those neighborhoods at the horror of that. But there are people who are burned, and the ashes are there, and you know, you think about the fact that those are all spread. There are those that have been blown up. How can all the molecules, how can all those, all the atoms and molecules come back together? Well, that makes a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle seem pretty simple. Do you believe in God? Resurrection is impossible from our standpoint. You can't do it. You can't reassemble what has been disassembled. It can't happen in our ability. Praise God, it doesn't have to happen in our ability. It happens in God's ability. If you want to know how it can happen, read Genesis 1:1, and you will find in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. If God can create the heavens and the earth, God doesn't have a problem resurrecting the dead. If you can accept that God formed Adam of the dust of the ground and breathed life into him, which he did, then the resurrection becomes simple. Now, if you don't believe in God, you got a bigger problem. How in the world did life get here? They've been trying to figure that out. And you know what? They can't. The best thing they've come up with is sometime in generations past, there was a big bang. Now, I don't know if God said bang when he created things or not, but if he did, then there was a big bang. The reality is an almighty God is almighty. He is all powerful. He is all capable. And you also need to understand that the resurrection we are talking about is not about putting the pieces of your old body back together so that your spirit can go into it. I don't want my old body. I want the new and improved model. God will give a resurrected body, a new body, a body fit for where we are going to be. Resurrection is not remodeling and it is not reconstruction. It is new life. Paul gives an illustration from the world of agriculture, verses 36, 38. The seeds which are planted are not made alive unless they die. Now any honest person can look at nature and they can see the principle in operation. Seeds must be planted in the ground and die in order for them to bud and new life to spring forth. Some of you have questions about what type of body the resurrection body is going to be because your loved ones died in a difficult manner. Some of us have loved ones that died with cancer and that cancer was a torment to their body, and so we're concerned about how they will come back. Some people died in a car wreck with their body battered, and there's concerns about how they will be brought back. My father was killed in an explosion, and so the question of is how they will come back. Have you ever seen a watermelon? You're in the South. We like watermelons. You ever seen a watermelon seed? I know they say they have seedless ones today, but there's still those little white things that are in there that you eat and say it's okay. A watermelon seed looks nothing like a watermelon. It is an ugly, shriveled up little thing. A watermelon is rather large and round and green and full and oh, so good, especially if they're cooled off just right. The little ugly seed that looks nothing like a watermelon becomes a watermelon. An oak tree is majestic, an oak tree is strong, an oak tree comes from an acorn. They don't look anything alike. There is a miracle that takes place. Out of death and brokenness of that shriveled up seed comes unbelievable life. It is God that determines what a body will be. Now, notice it says to every seed its own body. The same kind of seed will produce the same kind of crop. That is a standard of truth. Orange seeds will produce oranges. Apple seeds, apples. Zucchini seeds, zucchini. And on down the line. There is a predictability in nature about what is going to be produced. Anybody planted in faith, anyone that dies in faith in Jesus Christ, will rise to eternal life. Our bodies will be different, and yet in some ways the same. You're going to be able to know who is raised. You're going to be able to know, and you're going to be able to be known. Our bodies can change. If you take most of the people in here that are a few years away from school age, and you take their high school yearbooks, you might see some changes have been made. Some of us are a little larger than we were. Some may be thinner, though that's the minority, I think. Our bodies are constantly changing. Do you know your body's constantly dying? Your cells in your body are dying all the time. In fact, you are reproducing in you. Our skin is reproduced about every few weeks. Bones, about 10 years. And so the cells die off and the cells are replaced. And with all those changes going on, we're still somewhat recognizable. And so you can take someone that you know well and not see them for 5 years and bump into them and recognize them. They're not the same. We know those cell things have been going on. They have been changed. But there's a similarity that you can recognize. God has the ability to make us new through the resurrection of the body. Our resurrected bodies will be eternal, but they will also have diversity. In verse 39, all flesh is not the same flesh. There is a difference between humans and birds. When you are raised, you're not going to have wings. You're not a bird. By the way, you don't need wings. Beast and fish are different. God gave each one what they need. And God has given you what you need. And as a resurrected believer, God will give you what you need for your eternal heavenly life. Our earthly bodies are not suitable for a heavenly existence. And so we will be changed. The scripture moves to outer space and speaks of the difference in the moon, the sun, and the stars. This means we're going to have different traits and abilities. The sun is covered with gases to promote heat and light. The moon is covered with titanium and is reflective in nature, and it reflects heat and light. Both have their own glory. Each star is different, and the stars are innumerable. But each star has its own glory and its own characteristics. So in our eternal state, when we are raised, we will have some similarities. We will all be sinless. Praise God for that. We will all be diseaseless. We will all be tearless, and we will all be troubleless. But we will have our own purpose. And we will have our own glory given to us to radiate Jesus. So there were questions about practicality, and there are questions about permanence in verse 42. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. There will be a tremendous change that takes place that gives us a body that will last forever. A body that will not fade away. Think about the changes. The corruptible will take on incorruption. In this life, we're corruptible. In this life, we're headed toward the grave. In this life, we are moving toward death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're going to trade in a dying corpse for a new body that will ever live and cannot die. Dishonor will move to honor. In our life there has been sin. Even the best of us is a sinner. And the reality is sin is what brings death. We are going to move to eternal life. Sin will be gone. Our sin will be gone. No other sin is going to come into us. And so being sinless, we take on the honor that God intended us to have forever anyway. We take on the honor, and in that honor, we glorify God. In this life, there is shame, but over Jordan, there is glory. Weakness will take on power. Sin weakens us. It weakens us socially. It weakens us mentally. It weakens us spiritually. You know, as you get older, you get weaker in some ways. And so there's some things you get to a point that you cannot do that once you could do. Age has a way of changing things. your sight becomes a little dimmer. I have found that the perfect place for me is between here and there. If I'm at pulpit length and pulpit, I'm standing up, I'm right about the right place. If I pick it up, I can't read it. My eyes have changed. My hearing changes a little bit. Like many of you, I hear ringing all the time. And your hearing changes a little bit as you get a little older. And yes, I know that there are some people that have great hearing and some people have great eyesight. I can't explain that, but for most of us, these things change. Our ability to last fades. That is, we get tired quicker. And our stability is a little weaker. It doesn't mean we can't still do things when we are older. We can still do many things. It just means we have to go about them a little differently. Because our body is weakening. Just the other side. Our resurrection will equip us with a body that does not weaken, with a body that does not change. You're not going to need glasses. You're not going to need hearing help. You are going to have a body that is perfect for all eternity. And praise God, disease is not going to be able to come in and weaken you at any point in time. The natural becomes spiritual. Our present bodies are bound by this old world, but one day we'll have a spiritual body. Now let me be clear. We will not be ghosts. There are no ghosts. I don't care how many you've seen. There are no ghosts. There are demons. The Bible is very clear. Those that have crossed over cannot come back. And God's word is true. So if someone sees something that is ghost-like, it doesn't come from God, and it is not your loved one. I don't care what it looks like. But demons can represent many things. One day we will have a body as Jesus had. Remember, when Jesus was raised, he could do many things. Now, he wasn't a ghost. He ate. He could be touched. He had a physical presence. And yet, he had the ability to go through closed doors. That's pretty neat. One day, we will not be bound by anything in this world. We will have transformed. There are questions of progeny. In verse 45, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam, Jesus, was made a life-giving spirit. Through Adam, we get physical birth. The reality is we are all born. We're all related to Adam. Strangely enough, science is coming to that conclusion that we all have a common ancestor. Bible said that a long time ago. In Adam we are born, but in Adam we take on a sin nature, and because of that sin nature, we follow our sin nature, and we have all sinned. We are sinners by choice. We are sinners by birth. That sin brings destruction. That sin moves us toward the grave and decomposing. Oh, but in Jesus, we get a spiritual birth. We're no longer headed down, we're headed up. We get a spiritual birth. We're no longer in the decaying mode, we're in the rebirth mode. We're in the resurrection mode. We're in the new life mode. We have earthly bodies. Excuse me. We have earthly bodies that have an earthly image in this life. Oh, but just on the other side, we will get a heavenly body that takes on a heavenly image, and we will show the world what Jesus is like. to get a heavenly body, you gotta have a heavenly birth. Now that's where the rubber hits the road. You see, if you have Jesus, if you have been born again, then you are sealed into a pattern of resurrection and new life and new body, and forever and ever you will be with the Lord and you will be one who shows forth His glory. But without Jesus, you don't have that birth. Without Jesus, you are doomed to move toward judgment. Without Jesus, you are moved to what the Bible calls the second death. You think the first death is horrible? The second death is worse. The second death doesn't mean you cease to exist. It means you go into a place where there is just constant suffering and anguish. I believe heaven is real. I believe the resurrected body is real. I believe there will be a time that I will be in glory forever. I will see my loved ones. I will know them. Those that have Jesus will be there. They will know me. And we will talk with the saints of the ages that all died in Jesus. But the ones that will not be there will be the ones that did not accept Jesus as their Savior. And because they did not have a heavenly birth, they are hell bound. Now that is not pleasant to think about, but that is true, and we need to understand it is true. If you want your loved ones to go to heaven, you got to get your loved ones to know Jesus. If you want your friends to go to heaven, you've got to introduce your friends to Jesus. If you want to see them on Resurrection Day, you need to lead them to the one that leads them to resurrection. And so if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, don't leave that way. Don't go through life headed toward death and another death and then damnation. Don't do that. If you don't know Jesus, then today come to know Him. He is Almighty God who came to this world, who lived a perfect life, who went to the cross to die for you and for me. He was buried. He rose again. And He gives you the opportunity to rise again. But you have to receive Him. To as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the children of God, even to those that believe on His name. If you have never met Jesus, would you come to know Him? If you're unsure, would you come and get sure? We will pray together. Jesus will come into your heart. You can be gloriously saved today and your eternity sealed today. Now, believers, you know you got Jesus, praise God. You know that you're going to be resurrected, that's great. We need to take people with us. And today we need to make a determination. We're going to get people to Jesus. For this life is the only time we have that opportunity. When you see people is the only time you can share with people. Don't leave them without giving them the opportunity to know Jesus. Let's stand for prayer. Father, we thank You for this time to be together. We thank You for the challenge of Your word. We thank You that there is a resurrection day for those that know You. But Father, in this room, perhaps there are some that do not know You. Give them the desire in their heart that they want to be saved. Give them the desire that they want Jesus. And Father, I pray that they would be willing to step out on that desire, walk forward and just say, I want Jesus. Father, I know that You want to save all, but all have to be willing to be saved. Father, I pray for believers. Father, that we would understand that we have a job to do, and this is the only time we have the opportunity to do it. Father, burden us with the lost around us. Give us a desire to tell them about Jesus, Father, that they might go where we will go, that they might be resurrected as we will be resurrected, that they might be in heaven as we are in heaven, that they might be with Jesus eternally as we are with Jesus. Move us, Father. And Lord, if there's someone here that needs a church home and you've told them that this is the place, let them come and be part of us that we might reach more together for you. Thank you for what you're going to do in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing, you come.